So as I was preparing for the set this week, I was reading in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and watching the video, and one of the phrases that stood out to me was the last line of the second video, which says, "What you hope for shapes what you live for." And as I was reflecting on the struggles of that church dealing with persecution and not knowing if they were struggling with doubts about whether they were going to be resurrected on the last day. And Paul was speaking to them, encouraging them to live holy lives in the midst of just really difficult opposition. It just reminds me of the call that we have today to continue to live holy lives, that our lives are not our own. We belong to Christ. And so I want to read a couple of scriptures from 1 Thessalonians. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. In chapter 5, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. And so I call you this morning to reflect on God's faithfulness in your life, and the areas in which you can dedicate to him, knowing that he is faithful and he will do it.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. Brought me out of darkness, you fill me with peace. Giver of mercy, of my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but see. Faithful
promises are yes and amen.
All your promises.
And all your promises are yes and amen.
All your promises.
All your promises are yes and amen.
The one who made the heavens made my heart and soul. Before I drew a breath, I was loved and known. I am His creation, the Maker's masterpiece. And all that He designs will be done in me. My body is a temple of the living God. I'll worship in this house that His blood has bought. As I bear His image, so may I not profane the holiness I hold in this earthly frame. 'Cause I belong to the Lord, oh, I am not my own. My standing, and He declares my state, so I will know myself by the name He gave. I belong to the Lord, oh, I am not my own. I belong to the Lord.
Fantastic. Thank you, kids, for bringing the roses. That's wonderful. You can head on back to your gathering spaces. So, As you know, we've been in this series going through the 21 epistles in the New Testament. And this morning, we have some special guests with us. My in-laws, Katrina's parents, Sam and Jan Krautwurst. Can we give them a hand? Not strangers to our fellowship, have been a part of Canyon Hills Community Church for the last few years, where every Sunday morning they spend time working with the kids, and Jan's helping to lead a missions group on Wednesday nights with 7 fourth grade girls who she plans on adopting. Is that right? If she gets clearance from the parents, right? Just loves, my in-laws love spending time investing in people, and as I mentioned in our email that went out this week, it is true about their lives that for 50 years together, they've been married 50 years, 12 days from now, so it's their 50th wedding anniversary coming up. For all those days and even before that, they have been committed to sharing the good news of Jesus with people through the context of their lives. And so Jan was an elementary school teacher for 40 years?
Yeah, 41.
41 years at a handful of different schools. Sam has served in multiple capacities, has been an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God Church for 50 years as well, and spent many of those years teaching. Bellevue Christian taught Bible education to 7th and 8th graders for 5 or 6 years, and then spent 23 years with King's Schools. And the thing I love about the way that Sam teaches is that really he was just a youth pastor in disguise, because there's curriculum you got to get through, the information of the text you got to communicate to kids who are going to a school that emphasizes biblical curriculum. But every once in a while, and probably more often than every once in a while, Sam would share about the experiences that he would have in his classroom where the curriculum didn't get taught as much as it was experienced. Through the power of the Holy Spirit ministering to kids, teaching them to pray for themselves, teaching them to pray for each other, teaching them to pray for the world around them. And they just love him because he shared the word of God, but his life as well. And so every so often, once or twice a year, he comes and he teaches with us because I just love him. And he has a great perspective on the word. So would you welcome Sam to come and share the word with us this morning?
Well, today I want to start off with something maybe a little different. I want to honor a person in my life. It's Mother's Day, and I want to honor my wife and tell you a few things. I didn't ask her in advance because she would have said, no. And like Chris was saying, 50 years we've been together, and she's toughed it out with me. We are so thrilled to have 2 children, 6 grandchildren, and 50th wedding anniversary is something special. The grace of God has helped for us over the years. It hasn't been always easy, and anytime you're in a relationship, you know that. There's a lot of growing, a lot of learning to do. Jan's had 5 back surgeries. 3 of them were major, with rods and screws in her back. And during one of them, I wasn't sure she was going to make it. I appreciate so much her love for young people. The 41 years, she's influenced over 1,000 young people's lives. Some of the times, she not only had the responsibility of teaching, taking care of the kids, but also pastor's wife, all these different things that she had to juggle. And she did it. And I honor her. She's our business manager in our home and our technology expert. I hope you honor your mother, wife, sister, or other ladies that who have impacted your life, not only today, but just on an ongoing basis. I want to tell you a little bit about us, because I think it's nice for you to hear a little bit what God's doing in our life. It's not like, okay, now I'm 72, and so I'm going to retire, and I'm going to go to Florida, or I'm going to go to Arizona, or travel around the world, or... Jan's involved in a women's Bible study. She helps weekly prepare Sunday school material. Both of us teach together. For the first time, we teach together a 2nd grade Sunday school class. We're going to miss them today. And we're doing it as a team. It's a wonderful experience. And I'm retired, but I'm not on the shelf. In fact...
You're not even retired.
No, I'm in the middle of action. I work with seniors and others that need tasks done. I think it's about 25 that I that I work with doing practical things. Sometimes I work together with them, and sometimes I'm on my own. I'm really grateful to be able to be here with you and to see what God's doing in your life. Today, we're going to take a look at 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Before Paul, the apostle, wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he visited Thessalonica. Would you take out your Bibles, please? And let's turn to Acts chapter 17. And that gives the account of what was happening before Paul wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. And as his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on how many?
Three
Sabbath days, he reasoned with them about what?
Scriptures.
And what did he do in verse 3?
He explained.
What did he explain?
The Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead.
Very good. And what else?
Jesus is the Christ.
Yeah, he made a bold statement that Jesus Christ... So in the synagogue, would that have been pretty popular?
No.
Oh, so he's going ahead and sharing new information. And then what did he tell about what the Christ had to do?
He had to suffer.
And?
Rise
from the?
Dead.
Oh, so he's given the whole message. So here's a guy coming in. He's got a message to be able to share. He's sharing with these people. And this, what did he say about Jesus? Yeah, this is the one. I've experienced it, and I just wanted to let you folks know that. Now, in verse 4, what happened? What about the Jews?
Some were persuaded.
Some? Okay, were all of them persuaded?
No.
And was Paul pretty good?
Yeah.
Was he a pretty good communicator?
Yes.
Could he be forceful? Uh-huh. So not everybody responded to him. You'd think, oh, he probably really was convincing. So some of the Jews were persuaded, and what did they do? They joined
Paul and Silas.
Okay, and there were others, not only the Jews, but who else joined in?
Greeks.
Some of the Greeks, yes. Now, prominent women, it could have been maybe the wives of some people that were really important people in the community, or it could have been just ladies that really stood out in the community themselves. Under their own strengths, they were evident. So here you got this Paul that's coming into town. He goes to the place of worship for the Jews, and he starts sharing with them the gospel. And verse 5 says that everybody was thrilled. Right? So what happened? What problem occurred?
Jews became jealous.
They were jealous.
Yeah. They were jealous? Okay, and why were they jealous?
They were special, and then that took mean they were special Jews set apart, and they followed all these rules for so long, so they were jealous that, like, why could this be free and just given?
Beautiful.
So when Jesus was on the earth preaching, people were observing him. One of the descriptions was that he preached with power, not in the traditions of men. And they noticed that, and some people would comment on that and say, where does he get all this learning from? And so perhaps Paul preached in such a way that the Holy Spirit, in fact, he even described his ministry sometimes like that too. Like, I didn't preach with eloquent words, but I did it with the power of the Holy Spirit.
If you say, I'm not going to raise my hand because Sam's going to come around, give me the mic. Okay, so when you're jealous, okay, this is a great lesson for not only for us, but this situation, but when we get jealous. And in verse 5, what else did they... I mean, they took it a step further. They got a group of people together. I mean, they just went to town. I don't know that they knocked windows out or tore down buildings or anything like that, but it was a riot. And what did they do to poor Jason? This guy was supposed to be helpful. What did they do?
Attacked his house.
How do you think they dragged him out? Do you think they dragged him feet first or arm first? What do you think? And what did they say? Can someone go ahead and read that for us?
Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world, they shouted, and now they are here disturbing our city too.
Now, can you do me a favor? What did it say they did? How was their emotion?
Shouting.
Okay. Shouting. Can you give a little bit of a... Paul!
come up here.
And he realized the smartest thing for me to do is to step back and allow these believers to grow, and I will encourage them, but I'll encourage them from a distance. Paul was very gracious. He didn't see himself as indispensable. Now, he was there for probably about, it says three Sabbaths, probably about a month. About 200,000 people that lived there in Thessalonica. It was a very important city at that time. And Paul viewed himself as willing to say, God, I'll fit into your plans rather than my plans, which is a powerful lesson. So what would he do from then on as far as his relationship with the people in Thessalonica? How would he encourage them?
Send them letters,
yes, yes. He would do it from a distance. There we have, in Acts chapter 17, we have the example of what happened. That's the incident. And so then he goes ahead and he writes to them. The first Thessalonians, and the second one probably was about 6 months after that. So what does it do when you receive a letter from someone who has been there to help you and encourage you? What do you think? How did that come across to the believers? They viewed him as loving them. He cared about them. It wasn't just in and out. He was there to help them along. I wanted to emphasize something else, because Paul wrote letters, didn't he? I have received a lot of letters in my life. In fact, this is one box of letters, and I have about five more boxes at home of letters that have been sent. I went through a difficult time for about a year transitioning. I was discouraged. And almost every day, my dad sent me a postcard to let me know that he was remembering me. My mother would regularly send me letters. The other side of the, over in Boston area, she'd send them to me, letting me know what's happening, writing scripture and encouraging me. And I would write letters to my dad, to my mother. My wife is creative, and she wrote on this, please open and read. And inside, can I read it?
Well, it depends.
I'm proud of my Sammy.
Oh.
Love, Jan. To Dad, God loves you, and you are special, from Katrina.
Make me cry.
Well, that's good. It's the best place to cry. Cry not tears of sorrow, but tears of tenderness, tears of being touched by the Lord. Yeah. And I am so grateful. And one thing that I would ask you to consider, my wife will be at the door and she will be handing you a note card for you to go ahead and take home and write a note to somebody and give it to them. I think it's really good for us to write things down, send a note. Today we have texting, it makes it really easy. Notes, just something that we take our time and say, I want to remember, I want to say thank you, I want to know that you're being cared about and appreciated. So when we come to Thessalonians, Paul is not there. And he's writing them on two different occasions, as I mentioned, probably 6 months apart, something like that. If you've already read it, just anything that in First Thessalonians that Paul said to them.
He's encouraging them to not give up and continue doing the good work and caring for one another.
You got it. Okay, not out of sight, out of mind, right? He's still praying for them, he's encouraging them, and he's also longing to see them again. He wants to see them. Where is he going next? Where did he go next after Thessalonica?
Berea.
And then he just kept going, right? God kept leading him along, and he let the people that were there get the group together, but he still didn't want to forget them. He wanted to keep remembering them. He longed to see them, and then he got an encouraging report from, who said that?
Timothy.
Did you read this?
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's great. Yeah. You got to remember Paul. Remember Paul was right. Paul was there, and he was holding Stephen's coat. Remember when Stephen was getting stoned? Was he pretty tender then? Was he pretty compassionate? This is the same guy. He's longing to see them. He's letting them know, I'm so glad for what's happening. When we share our emotions, when we share our kindness, it's a wonderful thing. Writing someone and encouraging them and kind words, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a godly thing, to be compassionate. And here Paul is not only this kind of strong guy, he's also the tender man who has been touched by the Lord. If we just look at the mess that goes on sometimes around us, we forget, is this the end? What's coming?
The day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord. And so what does he give them as far as an encouragement? Yes. Hope for what?
Tomorrow.
For tomorrow. And then what's going to come after they're gone? They're passed away?
Eternity.
With who?
The Christ.
And?
In heaven.
Who else?
God the Father.
Our loved ones.
Loved ones.
God the Son. God
yes.
The
people we've invested in. People that we love. That's why we invest. That's why we persevere. Because there's that great day coming. So this is not just good for the Thessalonian believers. That's good for us to remember that this is, and it's worth all the effort. It's worth the patience. Because the blessed hope. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, I want to do a follow-up. And that's a good lesson for all of us too. That people that we've been in contact with, we don't have to forget them. It's nice every once in a while to remember, to write them a note. Don't forget to keep following up, because we all need encouragement. Paul had that. He didn't have to be there. He didn't have to be the main part of the show. He didn't have to be the center attraction, because he was interested in what was best for their interest. That's like we with our children or with our loved ones. We try to help them. We try to encourage them. We don't always have to do everything. But we want to be part of that process of encouraging and growth. And we don't give up. No matter how difficult it is. And Paul never gave up. He kept encouraging them. He gave them hope despite the persecution. He told them about the man of lawlessness. And then he talked about the day of the Lord. He kept encouraging them to look at that. Then he also, in chapter 3, said a challenge to the idle. Never tire of doing right, so that your life can benefit others. Don't give up. Keep going, because it's worth it. Isn't that wonderful? The blessed hope. And Paul got it. And he wants us to get it. And he wanted the Thessalonica, people of Thessalonica to get it, even though they were going through difficult times. I believe the Lord has a sense of humor, I think. It's amazing. Almost every day I read Our Daily Bread. A lot of times, Jen and I will both read it together. We dealt with each other, which each of you as a father deals with his own children. That was Paul, how he related with the people there in Thessalonica. Loving leadership. A viral video of a mama bear trying to get her four energetic little cubs across a busy street brought a knowing smile to my face. It was delightfully relatable to watch her pick up her cubs one by one and carry them across the road, only to have the cubs wander back to the other side. After many seemingly frustrating attempts, the mama bear finally gave up. No. What'd she do? She finally corralled all four of her cubs, and they made it safely across the road. Is right. The tireless work of parenting symbolized in the video matches imagery used by Paul to describe his care for the people in the Church of Thessalonica. Instead of emphasizing his authority, the apostle compared his work among them to a mother and a father caring for young children. It was deep love for the Thessalonians that motivated Paul's ongoing efforts to encourage, comfort, and urge them to live lives worthy of God. This impassioned call to godly living was born out of his loving desire to see them honor God in all areas of their lives. Paul's example can serve as a guide for us in all our leadership opportunities, especially when the responsibilities make us weary. Empowered by God's Spirit, we can gently and persistently love those under our care as we encourage and guide them toward Jesus. The prayer is, Heavenly Father, help me to extend to others the loving care you graciously show to me. But just to say, I have been blessed by people of all ages who have sent me notes, who have shown their caring by acts of kindness. As you head out, what a mission you have wherever you go, in your home, in your community, wherever you are, to be Christ to the people around you. What's an area you need God's encouragement in view of pressures you face? Family, work, or friendships? And take a look at that. Is an area that I especially need your help? And second, who is God leading you to encourage in their walk with God, just as Paul was encouraging the Thessalonian believers? And I know God's smart, God's great. If you ask him, he will tell you, and he will lead you. So as you leave, Jan's going to give you, it's a practical application for you to, maybe it's with your new family, maybe it's somebody, a relative, maybe it's somebody, a neighbor, that you can just write a note to, appreciation of something that's on your heart that you can give to them. You may hold it even for a day or two. You may know right now, but a chance for you to go ahead and do like Paul did. The application of today, do like Paul did and encourage others. Encourage other believers, encourage other people. I can't remember who said this, but that's all, folks. what is it?
Bugs Bunny.
Thank you, Sam. Can we give Sam a hand for coming and sharing with us this morning? Thank you both again for just the way that you live your lives and care for others. And I do appreciate what Sam said about potentially holding on to this for a day or two. To consider the profound impact that writing one note to one person might really have, and to maybe let them in on where this note came from, and that out of all the people you could have written to, the person you're writing to was the person the Lord put on your heart. This has a chance to ripple out of here, which is the hope of gathering on Sunday, is that it fuels us for what we need in all the time that God has given us. So Jesus, thank you for this morning. Lord, it is good to be together. It is good to dwell in unity with one another. And we just think on that, Lord. It moves me to think of the areas of my life, Lord, that I can confess to you, the places in which you want to extend your grace and mercy to me, and forgiveness for when I come up short. Lord, and it's from that humble place that we go forth and offer forgiveness and second chances and opportunity to experience God's grace to others. Lord, we pray that our week would be defined by such things, that we would be about the work of reconciliation, which is what you have called us to as your ambassadors. Lord, from those that are gathered in this room to the children that are playing in classrooms and learning your word, and to the youth that are studying more deeply your missionary journeys with Paul, Lord, may your word that is living and active empower us this week. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment on who we ought write to. Lord, knowing that by this time next week, Lord, these letters could be a part of somebody's testimony of your goodness in their lives. And so we give you praise and glory in all things. Jesus, today as we honor and celebrate moms, Lord, thank you for the goodness and the grace of moms and the role that you saw them fit and see them fit to fill in your kingdom work here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. God bless you, church. Wear lots of sunscreen or stay in the shade. That's my advice for today. And drink a bunch of water. And we'll see you hopefully next Friday night at the concert, the Atlas Free Concert. Saturday, next Saturday is the outreach. to the families, the seniors, and the community. And so there's multiple opportunities to see each other before next week. But if not till then, we'll see you then. God bless you.